Here's the title of my message this morning, and it's this. Be careful. I'm going to be asking you a question, okay, when we finish. And the title of my message is this. Be careful how you answer, because it's a faith-stretching question. Let me read our text this morning, and don't put it up, okay, Todd? Thank you. Because I'm reading from the Message version. I know you can, but that's, thank you. Just listen, okay? Or if you're in your device, you can go there, or your Bibles. John chapter 6. And it's the story of Jesus feeding of the 5,000, actually probably closer to 10,000, which says, after this, Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee, and a huge crowd followed him. They were attracted by the miracles they had seen him do among the sick. When he got to the other side, he climbed a hill, sat down, surrounded by his disciples. It was nearly time for the Feast of the Passover, which was kept annually by the Jews. When Jesus looked and he saw the large crowd that had arrived, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He said this to stretch Philip's faith. He said this to stretch Philip's faith because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered and he said, 200 pieces of silver wouldn't be enough to buy bread for each person to get a small piece. And then Mark's gospel adds this to the story, says Jesus asks another question and he says, but how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And then one of the disciples, Andrew, the brother to Simon Peter, says to Jesus in response, there's a little boy over here who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, it's like his little brown sack lunch, you know, that he's got with him carrying it. He said, but that's a drop in a bucket to feed crowd like this. And then Matthew adds this to the story after Andrew says that. Jesus says, bring them here to me. Bring what you have here to me. And so then Jesus organized things and made the people sit down in groups of about 50. It was a luscious day. Sun shining, grass was green, have the people sit down in companies of 50. And they sat down, and it says there was about 5,000 of them, probably closer to 10,000. And it says Jesus took the bread that they had given him, he gave thanks, and then he passed it out to everyone who was seated there. And it says he did the same with the fish. And then it says this, everyone ate as much as they wanted. And then it says, when the people had finished their fill, he said to his disciples, go and gather up the leftovers so nothing is wasted. And so they went to work and they filled 12 large baskets with leftovers from the barley loaves. So there was enough and to spare leftovers from this miracle. Pray with me. And so, Father, as we're here in your presence and we're about to look into this word, I pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit and teach us more than my words, more than the sound of my voice, that there would be your words and that there would be your voice speaking into our lives this day as your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And so, be careful how you answer, because it's a what? Faith-stretching question. So let me say a couple of things about faith as we consider the passage before us. All right? Here's the first thing. You can't go very far without it. That is, you can't get very far without faith. The journey we're on is called, metaphorically, a walk by what? By faith. We are walking by faith. That's how it is that we understand the relationship that we're in with Jesus and where we're going and how we're getting there. We're walking step by step, by faith. There's nothing more valuable, there's nothing more precious than your faith. Without it, you lose your way. You get lost quickly. But with faith, you find your way. You stay on the way that God has for you with faith. And so much more can be said about how precious, how valuable faith is. And so to strengthen our faith, to keep our faith strong, I think we know about weakness when it comes to faith sometimes, right? Believing God. To strengthen our faith, there's something that God does to us. He often puts us in the same kind of situation that Philip found himself in. In an overwhelming situation where what little we have, can become more than enough. See, what little they found they had became more than enough in this situation, as overwhelming that it was. But still, from Philip's perspective at that moment of the question, pretty overwhelming. And it becomes more than enough because God uses the situation to stretch our faith to make a miracle happen. The little that this little boy had became more than enough. Why? Another question. Why? How did it become more than enough? A little boy's lunch, you know, five pieces of bread, you know, small pieces of bread, and a couple of fish. How? How did it happen? Well, it says that they brought it to Jesus. They brought it to Jesus. As simple as that sounds, it became the answer to provide a miracle. Because what the little boy had, they brought it to Jesus, they gave it to him, and there's the faith. You know, sometimes we get so anxious about faith, about what faith is. How do I exercise faith? How do I have faith? What are the mechanics? What are the mechanisms that trigger faith? And here it is, so simple. What they had, what little they had, what little they discovered they had, they brought it to Jesus. And therein, that act, that one act of giving what they had to Jesus was faith. That's faith right there. They gave what they had to Jesus. And that pulled the trigger for something big to happen. That made the miracle work by bringing what they had to Jesus. You know, we want to see God perform miracles. And God says, well, give me what you have, and I'll make a miracle happen. And so it's that faith that is the key to unlocking the miracle. Notice the test. The test was to see what Philip would do to Jesus to stretch his faith. And by stretching his faith, by bringing what they had to Jesus, it unlocked a miracle. So by giving up, now from the perspective of the little boy, by giving up, by sacrificing his lunch, right? It was enough for him alone. But by sacrificing it, you know, how it is that they discovered the little boy had, you know, a few loaves of fish. I don't know. You know, was he there watching what's going on, and he had his little bag before him, and he was, you know, just about ready to sit down, open up. You could see him open it up, you know, smelling it. You know, while these guys are carrying on with this kind of thing, I'm a little hungry, so I think I'll get a little snack that Mom packed me for today. And he's about to pull it out, and as he's about to pull it out, Andrew sniffs him out and says, "Hey, kid." And right there, this kid's got a decision to make as well, you know. And so, and all kinds of scenarios that we can draw, but however we draw them, this little kid, by giving up a little, got in on something big. By giving up a little, he got in on something big. By giving up his lunch that could feed only him, he got in on the miracle of his dreams. I can see him now standing there. As he gives it to Andrew, they give it to Jesus, and the kid is watching what's about to happen to his lunch. And he's saying, I know my mother only put five loaves and two fish in there. And look what the heck is happening. Jesus keeps on pulling this stuff out. Keeps on pulling this stuff out of this bag. Pulling this stuff out. Not only to feed thousands of people, but after they get done, there's enough and more that they fill 12 baskets. 12 baskets full of the leftovers. And this kid is watching this. And as he's watching this happen, he has to be thinking to himself, I had a part in that. I had a part in that. You know, I'm invested there in what's going on. You know, I helped that miracle. I helped Jesus perform that miracle. He has to be thinking that because that is indeed what was going on there. Amazing. And so Jesus took one boy's lunch and he stretched it to feed a multitude of people. Amazing. And so to keep us on the stretch, as it were, God sees to it to keep our reach beyond our grasp. Let me give you one example of what I'm talking about. Just one of example. So many ways that you can apply this message to your own lives, okay? But here's one example. We're a small church. I would say that we're a church about the size of, let me look in this little bag here. I'd say we're a 5 loaves and 2 fish church. That's what I would say. That's about what we have. You know what I'm saying? And as we consider that we're a small church, 5 loaves and 2 fish, beyond our grasp, you see, is we're reaching for this. Beyond our grasp is this multitude of a sanctuary project, you can say. You can put this sanctuary project in the same light of the thousands of people that Jesus had before him. And so the question is this. We've gotten to the question. Now remember now, be careful how you answer. Where are we going to get the resources to do this project? Where are we going to get the resources to do this project? Where are we going to get it? Be careful how you answer. Because why? Because why? It's a faith stretching question. And so, in asking that question, where are we going to get the resources to do this project? I hope that I've already answered that in my message. We're going to bring what we have to Jesus. If we're 5 loaves and 2 fish, what does Jesus ask for? Bring me what you have. And what I want us, we're going to give a little update right now, okay? We're going to give a little update on where we're at in our sanctuary project, because some changes have been made and we're ready to take the next step. We're ready to take the next bite out of the elephant, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Right? A journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And so we're making some steps. We're doing the work. We're baby stepping. Nobody gets it. So what about Bob? Anybody get it? Such sheltered lives. But anyways, we want to give an update to where we're at, where we're going, and to say that what we have before us is not a business venture. It is not. Is there business involved in what we're endeavoring to do? Absolutely, yes. But it is not in the first place, not even in the second place, a business venture. This is a faith venture. A faith venture. Jesus, in looking at the crowd before him, let me bring together 1 or 2 or 3 of the disciples who have the most economic sense about them. And for them to analyze the situation and to put together an accounting of feasibility of how it is that with what we have, what we don't have, that we can take care of the need before us of feeding all these people, of coming up with the resources to get this done. No, Jesus didn't do that. He attacked it by calling them to what? F-A-I-T-H. By calling them to faith. He says to Philip, how are we going to do this, Philip? And it was a question that did what? Stretched his faith. And this is how we have to see what where we're at right now as a church. And endeavor. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I just love the look at love the look of it and what's going to happen. And a couple of things we are wanting to get through this morning. Up there, I'm going to be introducing John in a moment. And you have the new brochure in front of you, which says a lot of things. Okay, a couple of things it doesn't say. We have finished a major step with our architect, Jim Tuttle. And he and John have been in collaboration, and John is presently working on the building, the detailed drawings for the actual building and of the renovation, which includes so many things, from engineering to codes, all kinds of stuff. You know, what will work the best, that from which drawings we will be able to get an idea of cost as well. Now, a couple of things have happened. One of them is that our architect, of course, who is from Wilkett and good friends with the building department in Wilkett, has already paved the way for us. In talking to the building inspector and getting a feel for things or whatever, talking and presenting to him different things. And, of course, he and John have spoken so that it gives us good favor for where we're going when it comes time to submit our drawings for permit approval. That's favor from God. The other favor from God is this, and that is that our architect has, we have paid him, let's see, 20, what's 25 and 8? 32? 8? 33, thank you. I was just checking. Just checking. $3,300. That's what our architect has charged us to date, and he's virtually done. I mean, that's peanuts. That's peanuts for the work that he's done. But the lion's share of the work now is on John, who, if we were to pay our architect to do what John is doing and will complete doing, it'd be more in the neighborhood of $13,000 to $15,000. And our architect is working with John, who is not a licensed architect, which you have to be to submit drawings, but is comfortable enough with John's expertise in this field to allow him to do all the drawings and give the architect's stamp on the drawing so that we could submit them to the town. And we save thousands of dollars. Amen. I think it's good. And we're able to do that because of the skill and the expertise and talent that God has given to John and blessed us with. And we are thrilled about that happening, as well as you see here in our little brochure, that we have under our belts already some ground that we've covered, and we talk about that in here, that we have probably done $75,000 to $100,000 work of in this place already in the past 6 years. Now you say, how did you do that? Well, we did it by faith. You know, when we first started, we were less people than we are now. Yeah. And one thing or another happened to help us to do all of the things. that we've done to date. And so here we are now. And we are going to, if you could just run through these real quick, okay, Todd, then I'm going to introduce John. But this is going to be the side view. You see our scripture here? For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. We believe that. The changes, the things. I was going to stand right here and giving this little presentation. If you see here, if you just look above me, I was going to stand here. We were going to tie fishing line to that, and then John was going to tug on it, and this whole thing would just cave in. But we were afraid somebody would get hurt, and so we didn't want to do that. But that's just to say that, you know, our building is long overdue. It's long overdue. It needs help. So it's not like, you know, we're doing something because we want to change. No, it needs to happen. And our original plan was for just, you know, what was less than that. And then so we got to go two stories, and because to optimize the space. Next one, please. This is the other side. This is this side facing this way. Kind of give you a visual of what it looked like. I'm not going to take the time. John will say some things. The next, please. This will be the new entryway from the parking lot. So that's this behind us here, and that will be the new entryway. The lines in are shadow from what, you know, looks like from the front. But that's the rear. It's you know, the rear, which will be cut, which is will be our new main entrance from the parking lot. You get out of your car in the parking lot and you walk right straight in through those double doors. Next, please. This is the main floor. I know it's hard to see all these things. John could bring more attention to it, but the first floor basically is a social area, welcome area, offices. Next, please. And then the second floor will be youth ministries. Be a youth pastor's office up there. Be two large rooms for our youth activities, all that kind of stuff. And so on. Next, please. And then that's the basement on the right-hand side, the lower level, which pretty much stays the same, except the nursery will become larger. We're able to enlarge the nursery there. So that's a number of things that are going on, and we have you know, our building team, that is Brian, wave at us, Brian, and Cliff, where's Cliff? Good, and Bill, wave at us. Bobby, wave at us, and John, of course, here. Did I get everybody? Who am I missing? Is that all of us? Cliff, I got you, didn't I? Good. And we are, you know, we're in consultation, we talk, and we got a long way to go with these things. So the last thing I want to say, John, why don't you prepare to come? The last thing I want to say is that I'm gonna pass out these we've been talking about. And this is what's explained in the brochure as my faith promise contribution card. Okay? And it says, I'm excited to be a part of Wolcott Christian Church's mission. I believe in what God is doing here and want to do my part in seeing the sanctuary project happen. I affirm that I have prayed about it and by faith want to give the following financial gifts above my tithe. So handing this out for you to pray about what your five loaves and two fishes part is. Okay? To pray about it. To pray about it. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want us, you know, my family to do? And then there's two ways for you to participate. Not one of two ways, two ways for you to participate. The first way is an initial gift that I'm giving now. Now, in parentheses, it says by July 1st. All right? No. We, you know, timing has changed with some of this. So that needs to be scratched out in September 1st, put in there, okay? That needs to be scratched out in September 1st. So you can pray. You can, I don't know, sell hot dogs, whatever. But seriously, so that's got to be done. And it's a looking at, you know, hey, what's an initial gift of monies that I can give? Listen, if we have 10 people who give $5,000 up front, That's $50,000. I'll be one of the 10. I put up my hand. I'll be one of the 10. I'll be one of the 10. Okay? And then the next way that you can give is this. A promise of additional gifts that I will give either weekly or monthly in the next 12 or 18 months. So besides giving an initial gift, you say, hey, you know what? For the next X amount of time, I'm going to give $50 a month, $100 a month to the building project. I'm going to give $100,000 a month. Mike, I know you're good for it. To the building project.
Where do I sign?
Mike, you're just itching. I know you. What you're just you just can't wait. But that's another way in which you know you can give. And then it says, I understand. This is important. It says on this card, I understand that the promise I'm making is by faith and trust in God's provision, and is both non-binding, and it's between me and the Lord Jesus alone. You understand? You're not making a promise to me. You're not making a promise to the church or the church council, to the building team. This is between you and God. So in other words, it's like, okay, I'm going to give this. I'm going to sign up for this. Oh, I don't give it or whatever. And can I expect a knock on my door? No, we'll send Guido. We don't come. We just send Guido. Huh?
Do it,
Mike. You want to help, Mike?
No, I'm not.
But you know Guido. But seriously, this is between you and God. All right, we're serious as a heart attack about this. And then it says, I wholeheartedly join my church family confessing that God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. That we believe that our few loaves and small fish can work a miracle. Something little can do something big. But it's not going to happen unless we do what? Bring what we have to Jesus. This is our part. This is the boys' lunch right here. This is the boys' lunch right here. And so what we want to do, if I could have a couple of gentlemen, we actually want to pass these out for each of you to take one and start considering this before the Lord. Please come, John. I'm done.